Yeah, so Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather together and to sing songs of worship and praise and to hear what you're doing in Asia and to gather together to hear scripture and to think about how it applies into our lives. And we welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. We do pray that you would come right now and engage our hearts and our minds and help us to live for your kingdom. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do today is we've been doing this series on the Holy Spirit called Come Holy Spirit, and we've kind of dived into a lot of different subjects related to who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, the activities of the kingdom, things like that. And today what I want to do is actually talk about this question right here. What's the relationship between the Holy Spirit and water baptism? Because I have found that in my church background or my experience, I didn't really see a connection between the Holy Spirit and baptism. And I don't know if some of you maybe feel that way too. You've always wondered, like, hey, yeah, what is up with baptism, water baptism, and what is the Holy Spirit doing there? And that's maybe the question I'm trying to get at is, what is the Holy Spirit doing when we are baptized? And the reason why we're talking about this is, A, it's connected to our series on the Holy Spirit. But also next week we have about 15 to 20 people who are wanting to publicly declare their faith by being baptized. And so some of them have been asking questions. We have lots of conversations the last couple of weeks about what baptism is. And just for all of us, this might be helpful. And so in addition to asking what's the Spirit doing when we're baptized, I'm also thinking that we can talk about how is the Spirit working when we are baptized, because as a church, as followers of Jesus, we believe that the Holy Spirit's always at work in our lives. And so before we dive into this question, what's the relationship between the Spirit and baptism, what I want us to think about is this: what is the meaning of baptism? What does baptism mean for us? And the reason why I say that is because I have found that oftentimes when we answer that question, there's certain things that tend to come out first and foremost that might be a little bit different than what the scriptures actually teach. Let me give you an example. So oftentimes, when we think about, like, what does baptism mean, what we oftentimes jump to, especially pastors I've noticed, talk about how it's a public proclamation of faith. Anybody ever heard that? Like, baptism is when you go public, right? It's like, hey, I am a follower of Jesus, and I just got drowned for a couple of minutes to prove it, right? It's that moment where we publicly declare our faith. And it's not that I don't think baptism is doing that. I think that that's true, right? And the Bible certainly indicates that that's a reality, that there is a public proclamation part of it. But I don't think that's actually the primary meaning or purpose of baptism. And what I want us to do is look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and to see how Paul the apostle actually fleshes this out. And so this is what he says. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And so let's go back to that question of what's the meaning of baptism for a minute here. So Paul just lays out kind of, in a sense, his ad hoc theology of baptism, because he's dealing with a lot of people in the Roman church who were, you know, saved by grace and experienced this transformation of the Spirit, but then were also living their lives with no evidence of it. And that's why he's saying, hey, are we supposed to just go on sinning so that grace can just keep on covering all of our sins? No, not at all. In fact, you were baptized. And so in Paul, in his theology, and I think this is true of most of the New Testament, what baptism actually does is it's a reminder. It points to something. And so that's why sometimes Paul says to Christians, he says, hey, don't you remember when you were baptized? Like, come on, clock in. You know, remember when you were baptized and you made a public or private declaration of faith and allegiance to Jesus? He's wanting to do that. And so when we think about what's the meaning of baptism, I think we have about four things. Really quickly, I want to just summarize this and then get to our real subject about the Holy Spirit and baptism. But here's what we see, okay? When we think of the question, what's the meaning of baptism? We see that in water baptism, followers of Jesus are buried with Christ. They are buried with Christ, which presupposes the idea that Christ died, right? In fact, this is the way that one church father, Ambrose, says it. He says, for what is water without the cross of Christ? And so in water baptism, followers of Jesus are identifying with the reality that Christ was crucified and that he was buried. In water baptism, followers of Jesus share in the resurrection of Christ, being raised to walk in newness of life. And that is one of the most beautiful pictures. I don't know if some of you were in our first baptism we did when Don and I started pastoring here, and we had, do some of you remember that? Like, we had the hot tub up here, and everybody was like, what is going on with the hot tub in the church? And we were like, well, I don't have a lake in the church, so we're going to do the baptism in this hot tub. And what was crazy is we had a whole bunch of people also spontaneously respond to do it too. Anybody remember that? It was like super powerful, right? And do you remember when people went under the water and they're down there and they're identifying themselves with Christ's death? But when they come up, remember how it was like Super Bowl Sunday and everybody freaked out? It was like, woohoo, why? Because people are identifying also with resurrection, right? It's a picture of what's to come. It's a really powerful image. Also, we see that water baptism is, in Scripture, a spiritual bath. It's a way of responding in faith to the work of the Spirit. Like, when we become followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and washes us clean. Baptism points to that and helps us see that in the physical realm. And number four, water baptism is an event where we visually experience the reality of being in Christ. And so here's what I think we can see is that water baptism has significance, but I want us to think about this question about what is the Holy Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit's involvement in water baptism? And the reason why I think that's an important question for us is because in certain theological systems, so to speak, there's no space for the Holy Spirit involved in water baptism, which I think is actually detrimental. So let's do this. Let's do a bit of theology this morning. Has everybody in this room realized that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are doing theology? Could you please just acknowledge that? Like, yeah, I'm a really bad theologian. I'll admit that, but I at least admit I'm doing it, right? Like, that is the reality, is that every follower of Jesus, everybody in here does theology. Whether you admit it or not, you are doing theology, because theology simply is when we talk about God, right? It's the study of God. It's the study of God's Scriptures, it's how we engage with the subjects related to about following Jesus. And so everybody is a theologian, so I want to do a little bit of theology here, and I want us to think about baptism and the relationship between the Holy Spirit and what the connection is. And so here's how one theologian kind of explores this idea. He says this. He says, if we desire to enter into our Father's house, we must be presentable. We must be clean. So that we may be cleansed, God has provided the sanctifying agents of the blood of Christ, right? Everybody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have acknowledged the fact that Christ died on the cross and his blood actually was given and shed for your sins, right? Everybody with me, right? That's part of it. So blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sanctifying agent. He purifies us, makes us clean, and the Word of God. We heard a testimony already this morning about how the power of Scripture is able to, it's effective. It's how the Holy Spirit works. But then he says this, water baptism is a visible sign. Oh, I'm sorry, he has also provided water baptism. Water baptism is a visible sign of invisible grace. Water baptism is a bath of grace in which the believer is spiritually cleansed in waters upon which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, is resting. And so that is why I would say this. I think that water baptism is both a faithful response to grace, but it's also a way that we can experience grace. It's also a way that we can experience grace. And Peter actually says this, the Apostle Peter says, and that water, and he's pointing to Noah and the ark, is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean consciousness. So baptism is a response. Now, I don't know how many of you would say that that's your baptism story. Like, you became a follower of Jesus, and then in order to respond to that faith, you actually got baptized. Anybody in this room say that that was how you did it? Yeah, you got baptized, and how long did they hold you under, though? I'm always curious, like, what's the standard, you know, like, right? But when we go underwater, what we're doing is we're saying, yes, we are followers of Jesus, and we want to identify ourselves to Christ in his death and his resurrection. And it's a response. And that's true, but what I think we oftentimes miss is that the Holy Spirit's actually at work there. Like, how many of you have experienced that too, where you've seen the Holy Spirit create in you more awareness of Christ, more love and more longing for his presence in your life? Anybody connect with that? Like, that's what the Holy Spirit does, right? And so how is he involved in baptism? And so this is what a early church father said. This is interesting. This is from the second and third century. Tertullian says that the Spirit of God who hovered over the waters, and if you look in Genesis chapter 1, we see that the Holy Spirit hovered over waters at creation. He says that the Spirit of God who hovered over the waters would continue to linger over the waters of the baptized. And so what I want us to think about here for just a few minutes here really is to explore this idea of baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want to do. I want to just kind of share a little bit about my story and kind of how baptism has affected me. So here's my quick rundown of my testimony, my story. And some of you have heard this before, but for those of you who have, just pretend, get on your phone, Facebook, I don't know, whatever it is you do. But when I became a follower of Jesus at a young age, like, I grew up in the church. And so like from the day that I can remember being able to cognitively remember reality, I was in church, all right? And so my mom became a follower of Jesus when I was about 1 or 2 years old. And from that point on, you know, I've been in church. And so when I was about 7 years old, this is how I became a follower of Jesus. Don't laugh at me, but I read about this book talking about how Jesus was going to come back in 1988. Anybody ever heard of that book? There was actually a book that said it was like 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 1988. And I was like, he's coming back? Like, I'm going to hell. As I think I was like 7 years old. So I asked my mom about this book, and she's like assuring me that this book is garbage, which, by the way, he didn't come back in 1988. So the guy wrote another book saying why he's coming back in 1989. And then he stopped writing books after that. So, but this happened, and I had this conversation with my mom and her friend, and they started walking me through like what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And I was seven, so I didn't obviously understand everything, but I do remember making a conscious decision, like I wanted to be a follower of Jesus, mostly because I didn't want to go to hell, but also because everything they talked about about Jesus was like captivating to me. You know, this man, I remember they talked about how Jesus was the one who said, come to me, let all the children come to me. And that was intriguing to me as a seven-year-old kid. Like, man, there's this adult who actually likes kids. I don't even like kids, so that's amazing, right? And so I make this decision at our kitchen table. I made a decision to become a follower of Jesus. And it was about a year later in our church that I got baptized. And the way that happened was this. I started seeing and hearing in our church people getting baptized and wondering, like, what was that about? And so I started talking with my mom and dad about that subject. And my dad wasn't really a Christian at the time, so he would just kind of, you know, make up answers. And my mom would answer them with actual, like, well, this is what the Bible teaches here, and this is why you should do it. And so this is what I recall, though, is that every time I saw somebody getting baptized, when they came out of the water, they were completely different and changed. Have you ever seen a baptism where that's obvious? Like they come up and they're like, yeah, let's take over the universe for Jesus. Anybody ever felt that way when you got baptized? Like it's a powerful experience most of the time for people. So I'm like, I want to connect with that. I would like that to be my reality. And so I decided to get baptized. So when I got baptized, I was 8 years old. And what it was is I played ice hockey, got done with my hockey game. And then I went to the church to get baptized. And one of the most important things, and some of you maybe have heard me say this, but I had this hole in my sweatpants from my hockey shorts. And I was so worried that people were going to see that. That was like my focus when I was getting baptized. So I was like walking to the baptism tank like this, you know. Like, so I get in the baptism tank, and the pastor talks to me a little bit about, have I made a decision to follow Jesus? And have I turned from my sins? And as a seven-year-old, my list was super long. But I was like, I'm doing this, right? And then he said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and put me under. And I remember when I came up, I was ready or waiting for some type of powerful experience, and nothing happened. Like, that's my baptism story. I got out of the pool, the little tank, you know, and I went into the bathroom, put on some clothes, and then went about my life. And so I've really wrestled with baptism throughout most of my life, because what I've seen as a pastor is I've connected with adults, for instance, or even some teenagers. When they get baptized, it's like transformative, and they come out of the water and they have these powerful experiences where they, like, you know, get filled with the Spirit and spontaneously begin praising God and whatever it is. And then I look back at my baptism, where the number one priority for me was that people would not see my underwear in my shorts or my, you know, my sweats. I'm like, what is going on here? And so I've wrestled with this for a long time, because I've seen enough really powerful baptism experiences for people, and I've wondered, like, what was my problem? Was I not a follower of Jesus? Or was I baptized incorrectly? Or did I not know the secret secret lingo. And here's what I've come to the conclusion of. And this is why I think understanding of the Spirit's work is so important. It's because I look back at my baptism now, and it might not have been as experientially important for me in the same way that it is for other people, but I can tell you this now. When I look back on my baptism, I do know that God was working in my life. Like, the Holy Spirit at that time was actually working. And as a young child, I had longing and desire to follow Jesus. And I think part of our challenge in our churches sometimes and in our spirituality is that we're always looking for some kind of big experiential, emotional high, and we overlook the reality of what's being communicated or experienced in baptism. Because here's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6. He is saying that when we go into the water, we are identifying ourselves with Christ's death. And does anybody in this room, can anybody tell me why did Christ die on the cross for? Why? Why did he do that? I'm thinking. For our? Thank you. He died for our sin. And so when we go into the water, we're identifying with Christ's work on the cross, and we're identifying with his great love for his people, right? And so we identify ourselves with that. And that's beautiful in and of itself. There's a reality taking place there, whether we feel it or not. There's a reality there. And then even more powerful of a picture for me is when we come out of that water, we are connecting and identifying ourselves with the resurrection. And the hope that we all have as followers of Jesus is that we will be resurrected in the new resurrection. And the way that Paul ties us in with the Holy Spirit is that in chapter 8 of Romans, so in the same book, he goes on to say that the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in each one of us. And so that's what I think we can kind of bank on when it comes to baptism and the role of the Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit is at work whether we feel it or not. And the Holy Spirit's there in the same way that the Holy Spirit's in our lives throughout the whole journey that we have as following Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit's actually there. And so I want to really challenge you and encourage you to think about it that way. Like, some of you have been baptized and it might have been a long time ago, and so you're wrestling with questions about, should I get rebaptized because now I'm really passionate about Jesus and I seem to be, you know, more in love with him and more interested in the things of the kingdom. And I would just say, hey, you know what? It's possible that maybe you weren't a follower of Jesus when you got baptized and you were forced into it and all that type of stuff, and maybe you want to consider doing it again. But what if that was just one of the moments in your life where the Holy Spirit was at work? And you might not have this powerful experience, but the Holy Spirit was at work there, because I look back now and I can identify the work of the Spirit in my life. Let's stand up together. I'd like us to pray for a couple minutes here and think about this question, because as I've been thinking a lot about baptism and the Holy Spirit, and obviously we didn't, you know, just a short message this morning, I wanted to maybe explore and press into this idea about how the Holy Spirit's been at work in your life in the past. In fact, this morning as I was just kind of praying about application of this, is I think oftentimes we think of baptism, or actually maybe we think of salvation, as like crossing a line. You know, like we say things like, have you been saved? Have you gotten saved? And we really communicate that our faith is almost like crossing a line versus starting a journey. But I think that following Jesus is a journey. Anybody else agree with me? Like, it's a process. It's something that we are growing into, and we're learning the ways of the kingdom along that journey. And so how does baptism fit into that is that it can be one step in that journey. And so here's the question I want us to think about really quickly here. And we can just close our eyes together and press into this question. But when you look back in all of your life, you know, if you're 20 years old, 40 years old, 80 years old, no matter what, if you're looking back in your life, can you right now identify areas where God was working in your life that maybe you've overlooked? You know, maybe you had an experience when you were 7, 8, 9, 13, however old you were, and you can look back now and you can say, hey, you know what? God was at work in that. At the time, it didn't seem like it, but God was at work at that. Because as I was praying this morning, I really felt like there were a number of you in this room that, you know, you maybe have felt like God is not as involved in your life, or you haven't had those radical, powerful, experiential, emotional high moments. But I just would like to encourage you to know that God has been more involved in your life than maybe you realize. And so there's been spaces in your life or events where at the time it felt like you were kind of alone or you weren't really sure what God was doing. But the reality is that God was at work. And so Holy Spirit, we just want to take a moment right now and welcome you. And Heavenly Father, I would ask that your Spirit would help us right now to be aware of your work, your Spirit's work. I pray that, Lord, everybody in this room right now can just identify and connect with these moments in the history of our lives where we've been engaged with you in your hand. Would you right now, for those in this room who have been baptized and who have made that decision to follow Jesus, and God, can you right now show us and remind us that when we did that, we were connecting and identifying and deciding to be just to give allegiance to you, Jesus, and that your Spirit was at work there whether we felt it or not. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that God, you would capture us, capture our hearts, capture our affections, and give us vision for the journey that we are on toward becoming more intentional, more effective for your kingdom. And so I just pray that for everybody in this room. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Hey, if you have any prayer requests or any prayer needs, you can talk to myself or Wes or Don or any of the other people in leadership here. But have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m.